We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful Chicagoland, it's fall in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Dan Rubenstein, sir, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm hyped.
Yeah.
Ty,
are you?
I did push-ups this morning. I did a little meditation this morning. Also, we just launched a significant portion of the Solid Verbal universe this morning.
My mind
There's
is blown.
Too.
My mind is blown. We have a Patreon.
Yeah.
You can get to it from verballers.com. That is the new domain we were teasing out a couple of episodes ago, Dan. What do people
yes,
need to know about this? This Patreon, this thing that we're doing, why are we doing it? Where do we want to start?
It's quite simple. And these are the words that I've come back to a couple of times. And we were thinking about how we wanted to talk about this, how we wanted to launch this, and why really we're doing it in the first place. So you've probably heard the term, the name of the company, Patreon, before as a way to support creative people that, you know, making music, making podcasts, making art, writing books, whatever, writing articles, you know, following sports teams. They're people who are sports media behind Patreon and doing things that are really interesting and professional in that space. The reason we're doing it is quite simple. It's a time thing. It's a freedom thing. It's a quality thing. And as we've gotten older, as jobs have, you know, we've had to juggle time with jobs. We've had to juggle times with family. We've had to juggle time with making the Solid Verbal. It became clear that we need to figure out a way to streamline time and freedom and quality. And what Patreon affords us is the ability to interact with people who want to support the show to maintain that quality and give us that time and freedom. And so in return, we've created a couple of tiers. We've always dreamt of expanding our universe to create what our vision has always been for the Solid Verbal. So that includes video. That includes taking friends of the show that are writing, that are making podcasts, that are making video, and helping them to make things with hopefully the same or even better quality than you're used to with the Solid Verbal. And I speak about production value quality because content right. wanes, Ty. Content wanes. Waxes and wanes. But Patreon gives us this opportunity to streamline everything, to give us that time and flexibility and freedom to maintain quality and build the show out after a dozen years where we've taken really nice incremental steps, where we've grown it to a really cool place, where we have Verballers across the world, really. But
it's
now the part of the streamlining that comes next is... it's required that we have some sort of support to really do it correctly. And so if you do go to verballers.com, and there's an introduction video there, and there's more information about the tiers, we have been very careful. We are not taking anything that you're used to content-wise, audio shows, previews, recaps, UFOs, we're not taking that away. We didn't want to take something, a show, and say, now it's a Patreon-only thing. We wanted to add, not differentiate, not change. Does that make sense, Ty?
No, I think so. And, yeah. I think the main point here is the quality. We've had these ideas forever. we've had many of these ideas forever. And it wasn't until recently that we started putting our heads together and trying to come up with a way to like make some of these things a reality. And I think that's what I'm most excited about on the Patreon side. Not just making things, but also when we started the show over a decade ago now, it wasn't about doing this 12 years in the future. Let's be honest.
Totally.
It was all about trying to build a community. We just wanted to meet other college football fans who were like-minded in their love for the sport and their passion for the sport. And
thought we could do a good job making a college football show at its core, right? That's why we started
at its core. And that's still what we're doing. But I think this extension is really just a build on that initial goal of trying to build out a community and getting to know our fan base better. Once we actually had a fan base that we could get to know better, it became kind of a goal of ours to just seek that tighter bond however we could. So I think Patreon is going to give us a chance to do that. As I said, verballers.com is where you can go to find out more information about what we're offering, the tiers and the structure and how this is all going to go down. It will be an evolving thing. Some of the benefits we offer are obviously only available during the season. So as we get into, you know, the latter stages of things here of the 2020 season, we'll obviously figure out where things go next, but we're really excited about it. We're really excited about it. I can't tell you how many requests we've gotten over the years to do something like this. Now that it's finally here, it's pretty cool and it's exciting.
And so may I be blunt? May I be blunt for just a nanosecond?
You can't. It's your damn show.
This is what I do. I've had opportunities. You know, I've done podcasts. I've worked for sports media companies. I've done video. I've been a producer. This is what I do right now. Solid Verbal Inc., my partnership with Ty, is what I do. And the realities of me doing this, I'm not doing this to get rich. I'm definitely not.
No.
There are a lot of things I could be doing right now to make more money than starting a fledgling podcast company and network. But this has been the most creative, fulfilling thing to me. I've worked for SI and for ESPN and for Vox Media and for Bleacher Report and for, you know, the Action Network, all these different places, Wondery. And this has been the consistent, and this is what I am pouring so many hours into right now. And the reality is, to get that sort of flexibility, freedom, and time, to help Ty get that same sort of flexibility, freedom, and time, to just make the best possible show possible, the reality is it requires some financial support. And maybe it's for you, maybe it's not. That's okay. Either way, we're still cool. But that's the sort of reality right now. To build something, we need people to consider supporting the show. If the tiers are appealing to you, that's amazing, because we're going to make that stuff regardless. But if you just want to support the show because you like what we're putting out there, it's all the same incredible to us. So really appreciate you considering. And I know we have a lot of college football to discuss, but you know what? Me to you, that's the reality.
That is the reality. So verballers.com, we would hope that you go on out and check out what we're offering now. It's kind of a big moment for us. And gosh, we've been planning this for a while. That's all I can say. I keep coming back to that. It is something that we've had in the laboratory for quite some time. So check it out, verballers.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. All the usual stuff still applies, Dan.
Correct.
All the bad picks, all of the bad reactions, all of the bad takes, all of that stuff is still going to be in your podcast app of choice. That's why you should subscribe. Correct. That's why you should review. That's why you should give us
tell
a star rating. That's why you should tell your friends. All of the huge still applies here. You can also follow along. We're doing a lot more on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We've got content out on youtube.com/thesolidverbal. There's a subreddit at solidverbal.reddit.com. So the season is now a couple weeks in. I think we're both confident, Dan, that we're gonna see this thing through to some conclusion, whatever it may eventually be.
Definitely.
So I think
all gas, no brakes, bangers only, Ty.
Now is the time to kind of launch things and signal our intentions moving forward.
Correct. You want to get into news and picks and all sorts of college football things?
Let's do some quick news, if we could. Because, as always, we have breaking news!
We do. Do you have breaking news specifically that you'd like to mention?
We've got some postponements.
Yeah.
In and around the world of college football. Let me start with these. I mean, it's probably minor in scope compared to the totality of what goes on in college football, but I wanted to mention what a bummer it is for SMU to lose Reggie Roberson Jr., their leading wide receiver. Yeah. TJ McDaniel, their running back, to an ankle. Both those guys are out for the season. SMU's a team. Look, they're a group of five school. Maybe they don't get the love they should on this program. We talk about Shaggy Shane Bichelle all the time. Sugar Shane Bichelle, what have you, whatever your preferred nomenclature is. We like to talk about him, but it's a fun team. It sucks they lose those guys. On the Power 5 side, I saw Andre Sisco is going to be out for the year for Syracuse. That's in addition to Tommy DeVito. Sisco was a guy who's a difference maker back there. Granted, it's Syracuse, and defense maybe isn't the first thing you think of. Definitely a pro prospect. And, you know, it sucks. Sucks he can't play.
Skylar Thompson out for the year. Shoulder surgery. A pretty big name for Kansas State. And I know they started a freshman last week who had a nice run, but I think the passing game is going to take a couple steps back from what we might be used to. But hey, maybe Deuce Vaughn gets creative ways to find the ball, and that's interesting. So we'll see on the Kansas State front, because they are certainly one of the bigger threats in the Big 12. Outside of that, you mentioned the postponements. It's Vanderbilt, Mizzou, and Baylor, Oklahoma State. I just saw it was a false negative that led to the outbreak at Baylor. And Vanderbilt was in the news before for a number of cases and quarantines there. That's what ultimately led to the Mizzou postponement, I believe, until December 12th.
Yeah.
Bobby Bowden is improving, which we like to see, which he was obviously tested positive and received medical attention for COVID-19. So he's improving. I saw Florida has some cases ahead of the LSU game. Hopefully everything is asymptomatic and healthy there. It's very strange to sort of scroll through these various serious things, but 2020 is a nightmare. It's a complete nightmare, other than verballers.com, Ty.
Other than verballers.com, correct.
Yeah. So that's some news. I am ready to come up with what I believe to be a decent Saturday nickname.
A decent Saturday. All right. Well, let's play the sound. Let's make it official here.
Dan, Ty, help. I need picks of the
help. I need picks of the week. I don't know how much help I can be after last week.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows I didn't do much help for anyone out there. And truly, in looking over the slate of games now in week 7, I don't know if I feel any more confident. I do think that I'm going to be inclined to go with my gut reaction from a week ago, which was to just take the points in most of the games. So what we've got in front of us here is a three-pronged attack, a triple threat of sorts, where we've organized these games by time slot. We've pulled a couple out that we want to bubble to the surface and maybe talk a little bit more about. We're going to do our best to talk about most of these games, if only in passing. Right. I looked over the slate for a window of opportunity. I guess early in the early slate, the noon slate, you've got Pitt at Miami, which I'm actually interested in.
Okay. But I think you might have window of opportunity yips after you were taken to task for having the audacity to come up with a window of opportunity.
I don't care about those people, man. Whatever. Oh, okay. Whatever. Okay. The window of opportunity. Listen, you guys can say whatever. The dog is crazy. The dog is barking in the background now. But when we go and do live shows, people legit thank us, thank me for the window of opportunity. Like, that really helps me. Mm-hmm. And so it is not coming from a place of being dismissive towards any of the games in that early slot or whatever slot. It is coming from a place that many folks are living in a different reality where they cannot sit on their couch for 16 hours a day and watch college football.
I just wanted to give you crap and accuse you of having
I'm not going
to
apologize.
I know how meaningful the yips are as a concept to you.
The yips are are not to be trifled with, but
that's true.
I think early is the time slot. It's Pitt at Miami.
No.
It's Auburn at South Carolina. Then we've got Kentucky at Tennessee, Clemson, Georgia mm-hmm. Tech, Cincinnati, Tulsa, Liberty, Syracuse, like Kansas, West Virginia. Sorry, I'm not going to make that appointment television or anything.
Big Fox.
Yeah. So I think for me, it's that early slate that I'd be willing to do without. Try to get in front of the TV, you know, maybe around 4 o'clock, catch most of the LSU Florida game or Texas A&M and Mississippi State, which I think could be interesting. Obviously, Notre Dame and Louisville is at 2:30.
Louisville.
We can talk through that game in a little bit as well. But any thoughts there? You agree, disagree, abstain?
Welcome, Ty, to Select Your Gourd Saturday.
Select Your Gourd?
Yes. Do you know what a gourd is?
I do know what a gourd is.
So we've talked about pumpkin picking and pumpkin patch attending. Great outdoor activity
right.
when outdoor activities are advised.
Okay.
And the schedule in front of me, it seems to me that if you are going to pick a weekend, mid-October, maybe there's a chill in the air.
Select
maybe you're like
gourd.
Ty and Mel Kiper and you can eat a pumpkin pie literally every day.
I'm going up to Mama H's tomorrow. She made pumpkin pie.
There you go.
True story. I'll eat a whole pie.
This is your Saturday. It might not be your choice, for sure, but this is your Saturday to feel best about selecting your gourd. That's the word, you know, pumpkins are gourds, you know, maybe an acorn squash, a butternut squash, a delicata.
Delicata.
Do you fancy a squash, Ty? Will you split open a giant gourd and roast it up?
Oh, yeah. I love a good gourd. I love a good
Ty,
gourd.
This is why the Solid Verbal at verballers.com just makes sense. Because we're simpatico. We have to have gourd fans out there. And yeah, I mean, especially with the now the solid toddler, but when he was a baby and just starting on mushy foods, get a gourd, mash that up, roast and mash, puree it. It's great. So this would be the weekend, I would say, that you should feel best about finding that window, maybe with the family, maybe with a loved one, maybe by yourself. If you're just a one-person gourder.
Yeah.
I would go for it. If you're a Brian Van Gorder.
Oh, boy, that's too good. Did you come up with that on the fly or were you prepared?
I did. I'm both embarrassed and super friggin' proud to have done it, Ty.
You can be a Van Gorder. I actually, as you were, I just had a terrific gourd about 3 weeks. I don't remember the name of it. A friend of mine has an elaborate garden and he gave me two of these squashes.
Okay.
And it was a different kind than I've ever had before. I've actually texted Solid Wife Kate in the middle of the broadcast. I know multitasking's a thing. I've texted her to get the official name of this particular thing, squash, gourd, what have you, because it was very, very good.
Also, butternut squash. Hilarious looking.
Butternut squash.
Pictures
very
with
good.
The giant butternut squash. So don't feel guilty. I mean, obviously, Georgia-Alabama is the headliner at, what, 8 Eastern?
8 Eastern. By the way, on one of our previous shows, I think we said it was in the afternoon slot, which it is decidedly not. It's in the 8 p.m. window.
Correction. Yes. Florida-LSU is probably going to go haywire, go off the tracks a little bit. Catch the end of that, catch the second half, catch the whole damn thing, if you please. I'm just saying, if there is a weekend, this one kind of makes sense, given postponements, given disappointments in teams, given whatever. This might be optimal Select Your Gourd Saturday. I don't know if you have an issue with that name. If you want to add something different, change it up.
No, I like that. I think it's very, very thematic. It's very autumn. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's roll with Select Your Gourd Saturday. So let's start here. I don't have a sound to select our gourd. I guess that would be the lock sound. But
it's okay.
Let's start with the early slate here. It is 3-2 okay. Pitt. It is 3-1 Miami. Both are off losses. Miami is a 10-point home favorite. I don't know what to make of Pitt. I have no idea. I think I'm at the point with them now where I'm just going to go against all my gut reactions. And after losing a week ago on the road to BC, my inclination is just to write them off. But that's when Pitt gets you.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they get you. Also, Miami off the Clemson loss. I think Pitt still has a good defense. I think Miami wins the game. I think Miami wins. Okay, I understand that. You could talk about that.
Yeah.
I think Miami wins the game, but I think it's very close. So if you're giving me 10 points, the Pitt defense, presumably a kicker who's not going to miss more extra points.
Let's hope not.
In a clutch situation, but can continue to make the 58 yarders. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Pitt here, plus the 10. I'm going to go against better judgment.
Low scoring game last year, 16-12, I believe, was the final score. Miami won this game. And I think the way you beat Pitt comfortably, or the way you just get over on Pitt, is probably passing the ball. Miami has struggled with that against its better opponents. Now, move the ball against Louisville through the air, but it's Louisville. We saw some struggles against Clemson. Pitt's defense is not Clemson's, but I think that's where Pitt is vulnerable. And that's not necessarily where Miami has been consistently good. I'm worried about Miami penalties. I'm worried about Pitt on offense, though Kenny Pickett's been decidedly competent. He's been okay this season. I think it's too many points. I do think it's too many points, and I think I'm with you that it's like another close, probably low scoring-ish, but even if it's not, feels like a 4-7 point, 4-7 point game. So I'm going to take those points right there with you.
I've also now sent you a picture of the delicata squash.
Love. I mentioned delicata.
Did you?
A delicata.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah. No, in the very beginning, talking about gourds, I just roasted up a delicata for the solid toddler.
You ain't living until you have a delicata squash.
It's also called, now this is where I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure, because I did some squash, squash research.
Of course you did.
Is it also the sweet dumpling squash? Are they one and the same, or are they different varietals?
I am not up to speed with the squash genus, but I'm just going to take your word for it.
Okay. You know Brian Van Gorder yet.
No, it's true.
Yeah, delicatas are fantastic.
I love it.
Next game.
So we agree.
Auburn.
Auburn's 14th in the country. Rankings don't really mean much right now. It's kind of a construct that I guess we're using to compare teams against one another. That's how it usually works. It's just kind of awkward given circumstances. But they're 2-1. They are a 3.5 point road favorite against South Carolina. Dan, South Carolina is my home dog of the week.
Yakko's home dog of the week.
They've been better than expected. I think this is going to be a painful game, frankly. Somebody's going to win this game 19-17. And it could well be Auburn. But I like the fight I've seen out of South Carolina thus far. I like the running game that we saw a week ago. And I still really have doubts about that Auburn offense. I like the pieces. I like Tank Bigsby. I like Anthony Schwartz. I like Bo Nix at least 40% of the time. But I think this
is... If you told that to a spouse, Ty, I don't think he or she would interpret that as a good thing.
But I'm, for whatever reason, Auburn has not shown me that killer instinct yet. And I feel like this is an optimal spot for South Carolina. So give me the Gamecocks plus the points.
I agree.
Do you?
Fully. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think they've shown anybody. So the way we saw what Florida was able to do against the South Carolina defense. I don't think a lot of people would look at the Auburn offense as Florida-esque at this point. So what South Carolina actually does well, now they didn't stop Florida through the air that well, but when they are presented with a situation on defense where they can get off the field against some not elite opponents, but okay opponent and not so okay opponent, South Carolina is the number one team in America at getting off the field on third down, at third down conversion rate. They were incredible versus Vanderbilt, which, okay. Vanderbilt was missing, it's Vanderbilt. They were amazing versus Tennessee. First game, whatever. Not so great against Florida, but that all adds up to being amazing.
Right.
So I think there's a good chance against Auburn's offense, which I think is closer to Tennessee's than it is Florida, that there's a good chance South Carolina can get off the field and flirt with competence on offense. And I also don't think the universe looks kindly on sneak away wins. I don't know. I've been, maybe it's just getting older. I've been trying to do right by the universe more and more in picking these games and otherwise. So Auburn sneaking away with that Arkansas win doesn't make me feel great about then going on the road to play maybe an okay SEC team. So I'm gonna take those points and I'm gonna agree with you. I'm not gonna call them my home dog of the week. I'm not gonna steal your literal thunder. It's part of the sound effect, but I do like South Carolina here.
All right, so let me rattle off the other five games, and then we can pick which ones we might want to discuss here. Mm-hmm. Kentucky at number 18, Tennessee. Tennessee's a 6-point favorite. We've got number one Clemson, about a 4-touchdown favorite on the road at Georgia Tech. We've mm-hmm. got number eight now, Cincinnati, at 3-0, 5-point favorite, 6-point favorite-ish, depends where you look, on the road at Tulsa. Then we've got Liberty 2.5 over Syracuse. That one's in the dome. And we've got Kansas 0-3 on the road at West Virginia, 2-1. West Virginia, a 23-point home favorite there, Dan. Any of those games jump out at you?
Big Fox. No, you had said you wanted to deep dive some of the changes Liberty had made ahead of the Syracuse matchup. So I will cede the floor strategically. There are little things that you might not notice, but you've been making some calls and watching the coaches tape. I like Cincinnati a whole bunch against Tulsa. Strange seasons for both of these teams. Tulsa just beat UCF. Cincinnati had that very strange 8 interception game.
Yeah.
Was that the final number against South Florida?
It was an exorbitant amount of interceptions.
The Cincinnati defense is the by far best part of this game, but Tulsa with a nice win and a week off, as does Cincinnati. I don't have any thoughts about Clemson, Georgia Tech. I'm just hoping to see Jahmyr Gibbs and Jeff Sims play well. It's one of my favorite duos to watch when they're really on. I expect Clemson to handily win this game. Kentucky, Tennessee is, I wanted to talk a little bit about.
Yeah.
Tennessee's not as good as Georgia. We can agree.
Agree. Right? We agree.
Kentucky played some pretty bad offensive football in a comfortable win, which is nice. Hashtag win your clunkers. But it worries me against a more competent offensive team, like I believe Tennessee to be, more so than Mississippi State. So I like Tennessee here to win once again. This was relatively close. Last year, Jarrett Garantano had to come in relief in the second half to bail out a pretty subpar Brian Moore performance. And so he was good. And I worry about Kentucky's ability to even get to the 20s offensively right now. I'm just not crazy about their offense. Terry Wilson, I think, averaged fewer than 4 yards per attempt against Mississippi State. So I like Tennessee here by 7 to 10 points.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on Tennessee.
Also, Kentucky goes, I saw this number, Kentucky goes 3 and out on offense way too often.
Yeah.
Way too often to feel good about.
Yeah, I feel good about Tennessee in this spot coming home. They played a good game last week. I really like the team outside of Jarrett Garantano. He's really the one that...
Did they play a good game? They played a good quarter and three quarter. 1.82 quarters, maybe.
I just feel like I can trust Tennessee a little bit more a couple weeks in. And I can't say the same for Kentucky. You know, the defense is there, the offense, I'm still a little unsure what that product is. I know they're going to be ground heavy this year. I know that's going to be their MO. Mm-hmm. And I fully expect that they're going to beat a team of Tennessee's caliber. I just don't think it's going to be this week.
So okay. We agree? A Tennessee-ish win at some point.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Let's go to the mid-afternoon slate, Dan.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Interesting matchup here. In the SEC, it's 3:30. It's LSU at 1-2.
Whew. Yeah.
On the road, in the swamp, against Florida. Dan Mullen says he wants a full house. Didn't see if that's actually going to be a thing.
Nope. Was very quickly clarified by the athletic department that no, there will not be a full house in Gainesville.
Dan Mullen wanted a crowd. They're number 10 now after the loss on the road at A&M. 2-1. They're actually a 14 or 13 and a half point favorite here.
Yeah.
Against LSU. So now, granted, this is the consolation game between two SEC teams that were upset last week. But yes. It is a super beefy point spread, Dan. 14 is a lot of freaking points. Am I wrong to look at that spread and be like almost taken aback? Like, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't get behind this.
No, that was my initial reaction. So does that mean you should take Florida? Because at the top of this preview said you're doing the Costanza and going against your gut instinct.
Man, you're right. I can't do it though. I just can't. I can't. Let me take a step back here for a second and just kind of evaluate the state of things. LSU's 1-2. They lost to both Mississippi State, Missouri just last week. It's telling that if you look at their win probabilities moving forward, there could be four more losses on that schedule. Sure. This one this week against Florida, against Auburn, against Alabama. It's a 50-50 coin flip right now. If you look at that A&M game, I don't know if you watched the A&M win, if you would agree that it's a coin flip with LSU. I think they're better than LSU right now. But, LSU's not in a great spot. And a lot stems from the defense. We've already talked about them trying to beat the air raid with man coverage. Did not work.
No.
But in general, they've been giving up a lot of big plays.
Tried to beat Mizzou.
Tried to
hold
Mizzou.
Them under 40. Didn't work.
Didn't work. So they've been giving up a lot of big plays. Obviously, that makes matters worse. And on the Florida side, look, their defense, you can make a case they're the worst defense in the SEC. I've seen that case made. Statistically, you've got... statistically,
Ole Miss's defense exists. Ole Miss's defense, quote unquote, exists.
I'm with you. I'm just saying I've seen the case made, and there is a statistical argument there that I'm not getting into now.
Okay.
I don't personally subscribe to that, but my only point is... I cannot in good faith lay 14 points. I feel confident that Florida is the better team. I know LSU's been atrocious on defense. I think both teams are gonna score. I didn't see what the over-under is. I'd be confident going over. I'm just more confident going LSU plus the points here. So give me the points.
That's my gut as well. Vegas hasn't obviously fully figured out Florida as, what were they, 7-10 point favorites against A&M? They whiff. That's okay. It's early on in the season. LSU has been a big whiff for Vegas, too. I'm going to take the points. I am working under the assumption that LSU's defense can ascend to anywhere above where it's been against Mississippi State and most recently against Mizzou. Florida's offense is great. When you have a very obviously off-the-rails matchup, I'm going to stop parsing this number in third down conversion rate. Take the points. Just take the points.
Don't overthink.
Don't care who's playing. We have two liability defenses, two really good, if not great offenses. Going to take the points. Because even if somebody wins decisively, the potential for a backdoor cover, it's too strong with offenses like these.
Backdoor cover. Always a possibility.
Always.
We agree. We're agreeing too much.
I know. Too much. Okay. All right. We can go our separate ways soon.
Let's go to Texas A&M, the newly minted number 11 team on the road after their big win.
Mm-hmm.
Only -6 against Mississippi State. Mississippi State won their first game against LSU. They've looked dreadful ever since. So this is interesting, right? This is interesting. We've got A&M coming off a huge home win over Florida. Now they're mm-hmm. going on the road against Mississippi State. They've suddenly been left for dead, seemingly by most in sports media after two straight losses. They did score all of 2 points last week, so I get that argument completely. But the line is just 6 points, huh?
It is.
Does that scare you? Is that Vegas trying to like speak to you in quiet, hushed, revered tones?
Mississippi State actually has a pretty good defense. And they gave up a good amount to LSU. But I think in terms of per drive and the amount of production they had on defense, they did a good job against Kentucky. It's very strange to say that in a 24-2 loss, but they were put so far behind the sticks by KJ Costello and that offense that I think that context remains part of the equation. And then Arkansas, they didn't let Arkansas pound them. Is that a thing that we have to now take as a positive? I don't know. I suppose that's why the line is there's letdown potential. A&M is down Caleb Chapman. Unfortunately, he's out for the season. That news came across relatively recently. I think a torn ACL on that 51-yard touchdown catch,
which is
a brutal way to go. You saw him sort of, by the way, stretch out his leg. Like, ooh, something's right about this touchdown, but something's also very wrong.
Yeah.
So I don't know how big of a deal that is, but the letdown thing is real to me. This game is where? It's in College Station or it's in Starkville?
It's in Starkville, right? Yeah.
I think especially given the comments of Mike Leach after the loss where he kind of blamed the players and we've got a lot of, he used some sort of old term for lazy, ungrateful kids or something like that. Mississippi State might be on the verge or, you know, well into an enormous collapse. And I think there are teams across college football that are going to experience it. Just new coaches, things not working out. I'm going to take A&M here.
Wow.
I'm going to take that road favorite.
So you're saying that Mississippi State's going to lose its gourd?
Yeah. They're
really?
Out of its gourd. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See,
I think Mississippi State might be on the... These were problems that were talked about last year, locker room issues under Joe Moorhead, that maybe it wasn't Joe Moorhead's fault. Maybe it partially was, for sure, but... I don't know. Maybe there is a larger culture problem that was masked for a week against an LSU defense that we can now say maybe they should have been completely ripped apart. Maybe that was the correct performance. But Mississippi State at the same time, given the turnovers, the sloppiness from this offense, it's not just being outplayed by more talented teams. It's being fully outclassed by less than. I'm going to say that the collapse potential is there. So I'm going to take A&M by default here.
I think this line is absurdly low, and I need to know more about why. Sometimes the universe doesn't tell you why, Dan.
Well, A&M beat Vanderbilt by like 2 points or
Five points, yeah. 17-12.
So, let's not go crazy.
Let's not go crazy, but the line is low. It's suspiciously low.
Okay.
And I feel like Vegas is, our friends in the desert are trying to tell us something here. You can definitely throw against A&M. We've seen that the last 2 weeks. This game's also on the road. It's after a huge home victory over a top five team. They've got the bye on deck, so potentially an open-faced letdown look ahead sandwich, Dan.
Good point.
I'm taking the Bulldogs +6 at home.
Fun.
I don't understand it either. I do not understand it either, but I feel inclined to just ride with that +6.
If I give you $50,
yeah.
So it's not $50 of your own coin, but if I give you $50, you would bet on Mississippi State? If real money were on the line?
I would be inclined to put $50 of real money on it. Yeah. Maybe I'll do it before the end of this program.
I like it. I don't agree with it, but I like the gumption from you.
I kind of don't agree with it either, but that's sort of the point, right? We're going against...
Okay. So you've Costanza'd this game, but not Florida LSU.
I think that's right. Yeah, correct.
Okay. Next game.
2:30, we've got Louisville.
Louisville.
1-3 Louisville. On the road at number 4. Wow. They're up to 4. Okay. Notre Dame. They're 3-0. They're a 17.5 point favorite. I am on record as of September saying that Notre Dame was going to lose this game, Dan.
And you're nothing if not a man of your word.
I do feel a little differently now. It's a little bit. It is worth noting, though, that Malik Cunningham and Javian Hawkins both had really good games last week. Played well. 2 weeks lost running
in
now.
In a losing effort to Georgia Tech.
In a losing effort to Georgia Tech, which is not, like, that's not top line of the resume, but it is worth noting that it's 2 weeks in a row where Louisville was basically felled by their own string of turnovers. If they can get that cleaned up, it's a different case. I'm not saying the defense is rock solid. I'm not saying the offense is going to blow anybody away. But I still do have a fair amount of respect for this team. It's just been a really bumpy ride here early. 17.5 is too many. It's too many. This is the kind of game where Notre Dame wins like 42-28, something like that. But to your point earlier, a lot of backdoor cover potential here when you're talking 17, 18 points. So I think Notre Dame wins. I think they're the better team. I think they're going to have a really good day on the ground as they continue to build out that rushing attack with Kyron Williams and Chris Tyree. But 17.5 is too much here.
Can we call Chris Tyree the tire fire? Is that too early?
No.
I want to say it in a positive way. I want to say it in a positive way. Like, he's so fast that there are flames shooting out of his feet.
There's too much negative connotation there.
Okay, fine. I'll come up with something else. Notre Dame, they're going to win by 3 touchdowns plus lock of the week.
Really? Are you trying to jinx them?
No. I'm absolutely going to defend it as well as I can.
Tell me why.
Louisville's bad at football.
Is that it?
No, Louisville's defense is... We've talked about, and people have talked about, spilled a lot of ink, as they say, about the SEC's struggle with defense. Louisville's defense might be worse than anything the SEC has put on the field. I saw that they are something like 74th and 75th against the run and pass in terms of chunk plays, explosiveness. And I think there's only 58 teams playing football right now, and they're in the mid-70s.
Okay.
So I think what Notre Dame will be able to do is destroy Louisville. And I love the best of Louisville. I love the best of Javian Hawkins and Dez Fitzpatrick and Malik Cunningham. But that defense is such a problem. Like, this should be the cure for the common downfield passing game for Notre Dame. It should be. If Ian Book is not able to connect downfield against Louisville, that's a problem. That's a problem. So I think Notre Dame wins this game like 49-17. I think it's a very clean, clear, early, huge win for the Irish. Very confident about it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We've got Ole Miss 1-2. Only a 3.5 point favorite on the road at Arkansas, also 1-2. Possible letdown spot for both of these teams coming off of closer losses, right?
Emotional losses.
Losses. I think Ole Miss is too much offense, though. I like that Arkansas is better. They're certainly more competitive than they've been over the last 5 seasons. But what we saw on offense from Ole Miss was pretty damn good. So I think too much in Fayetteville. Give me Ole Miss.
Arkansas home dog of the week.
The Yakos. Home dog of the week.
That's right, Ty. That's right.
Explain.
Let that mustard or ketchup squirt. Sorry. Squirts thing.
Explain.
Take it into my pick. I talked about letting the universe shine down, Ty, and embracing that shine. And the universe, I think, is going to even things out with Arkansas this week against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is clearly the team with both the best and worst unit on the field. Can we agree?
Yeah, sure.
Their defense is worse than Arkansas's defense. Now, they've played for some significant opponents. Their offense is better than anything Arkansas does. We think. We assume after their performance against Alabama and Florida. So the even-keeledness of Arkansas, to me, I like consistency. Arkansas has been consistently, and we got a couple people were like, why aren't you calling Arkansas plucky? You call Boston College plucky. I think Arkansas is more than plucky. I think it's competence flirtation tie with Arkansas. Plucky is down but interesting. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I think Arkansas has already proven itself in the way they've performed early on with a new coach that there's a fight there that's beyond pluck. I might go as far as saying grit, Ty.
Hmm.
I don't know how you feel about that, but it doesn't matter. This is my turn to talk. I like Felipe Franks. I like this defense. I like how organized. I like the fight from Arkansas. And again, the universe to me is something that I don't think can be ignored. I don't think Ole Miss should be a favorite here. I think they're going to be let down after leaving it all out on the field last week. I like Arkansas here to get another win. How about that?
All right. Well, hey, I hope you're right. Whoopig suey.
College football gods.
Some other games here real quick in the afternoon slot. We've got UCF at 2-1 on the road at Memphis. Memphis is 1-1. UCF's a 3-point favorite. We've got also at 3:30 Duke at NC State. NC State minus 4. I'm just going against Duke every week. Give me NC State minus 4. And then we've also got Virginia at 1-2, only minus 2.5 on the road at Wake, which,
quarterback issues. Health.
Brennan Armstrong had the concussion. So questionable as to what that offense is going to look like, but 2.5 feels like it's a little too thin.
I think UCF is going to be able to throw all over Memphis. Both of these teams have had weird, you know, Memphis with the start stops, UCF coming off, that was a burp, a bye week. I apologize. Excuse me is what you're supposed to say after a burp. I'm going to just stay away from Virginia Wake Forest. I think Wake is actually, they flirt with being okay sometimes. It hasn't been their year this year, but they, you know, they played some significant opponents. I'm going to go with NC State to beat Duke. Duke winning with, what was it, 4 turnovers against Syracuse, I think underscores Syracuse and doesn't say much about Duke, whose offense I still think is kind of a nightmare. So I'm going to take NC State there. You should be able to throw a little bit on Duke, although Duke's defense is where they thrive a little bit. And I think that's as much as I can care. I do like UCF a lot, though. I like UCF a lot against Memphis. Memphis just seems like they're going to have an off year in the first year of Ryan Silverfield.
And then we go to the nightcap.
Yes.
Let's go to the big one. Let's go to number 3, Georgia. They're 3-0. On the road at number 2, Alabama. Tuscaloosa, Alabama also 3-0. This lined open around 4.5. I wish I would have grabbed it. It's now up to 6 in favor of the Crimson Tide. So, interesting side note in this game, Dan. Despite the fact that it feels like Bama and Georgia have been on this collision course in the SEC, they've actually only played twice since Kirby Smart got to Athens. Both were in 2018. Both were one-score games. This year's installment comes amid the tenuous backdrop, obviously, of the coronavirus, and I think an SEC that feels a little bit more gettable after some upsets and some lopsided games in the first few weeks. We had Bama's close call against Ole Miss. We had some uncertainty about the Georgia quarterback situation. Maybe some of that's quelled. I don't know. But let me start there. Stetson Bennett IV, SB4, as I like to call him here on the show.
The mailman.
The mailman. He has been something of a revelation early here.
Okay.
He was really good against both Auburn and Tennessee, both of whom are solid defensively. I love that. I love the story. I love the mailman hat thing.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is the underthrows.
Yeah.
Which you and I were texting about. We didn't really mention it on the show, but the underthrows are an issue.
Yeah.
Because if Alabama stacks the box, if they take away the run, if they force him to beat him through the air, can he do it? Can he do it?
Right.
I know there are Georgia fans out there thinking that I'm splitting hairs. And for sure, I am splitting hairs. I am here in this chair saying I'm splitting hairs. I just need more of a sample size before I'm willing to go Stetson Bennett IV on the road over Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
We knew nothing about this kid until he was thrust into the role a couple weeks ago. He has been good, but I'm just a little leery of that situation. And, you know, I say that knowing full well that the Bama defense can be had too. We saw it last week.
And the week before, sure.
I'm very curious to see how the Georgia offense goes at them in light of what we saw last week. I'm not sure that Bama's got this lockdown defense. So I'm conflicted here, but the thing that scares me the most is Stetson Bennett going up against Alabama on the road. So I'm going Bama. Like I said, I saw it at 4.5. I wish I would have grabbed it, but six feels like a lot. I'm still going to stick to my guns here. I think Bama ends up winning this one. I think it's tight. I think they pull away late. I think it's 31-21. Give me the Tide at home, and let's lock it up.
Lock of the week.
When you're picking your gourd, Dan, you go big or you go home. So give me Bama.
I like Bama here too. The thing that conflicts me is Georgia's defense is pretty much, to me, right there with Bama's offense, right? Like, there's no Alabama clearly has the edge on offense over Georgia's defense, or Georgia's defense clearly has what it takes to slow Bama down, at least as we look ahead to this game.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Disagree? Okay.
No, agree.
Stetson Bennett worries me. And something that we've seen from teams that are successful offensively against Alabama, it's the ability to generate explosive chunk plays. And Georgia has been a lot of things, but they don't separate themselves from teams through big plays this year. They just generated 5, 6, 8 yard play after one another against Auburn on the ground with those running backs, really impressively. Against Tennessee, they took some time, but things opened up in the second half as that defense forced mistakes from the offense. But it wasn't all of a sudden George Pickens over and over and over again getting behind defenses. He's excellent, has the ability to, but I don't think the offense has that ability to do all game long against some better opponents. I like Alabama here.
Yeah.
I don't know how comfortably I like Alabama because Georgia's defense might be the best single unit in the country. It might be. I mean, Clemson certainly has a lot to say about that on either side of the ball. But there is that potential. There's that ceiling for Georgia on defense. I think Stetson Bennett will be okay against Alabama, but I don't think he's on the level of Matt Corral, or I suppose the best of Kellen Mond, which is very strange to say. I guess we're Stetson Bennett doubters. We're deniers right now.
Yeah, I'm not a denier. I think that's too strong. I think he's been very good.
Do you think what Alabama showed against Ole Miss, even if it's the worst defensive performance of the season for them, do you think that is an indicator of where they are? Or do you think it was an aberration?
I think to some extent it's an indicator. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think I do too. We've talked for a couple years running now, really ever since like the Johnny Manziel game against Alabama. And we've seen, you know, Dr. Bo, let's say, I think it was Dr. Bo who knocked off Alabama. What's the formula if you want to beat them? Big receivers, an up-tempo offense, sort of that dual threat thing that you mix in, mobile quarterback. You know, Georgia has some of that. I don't think they have most of that, though. And that might indicate why Ole Miss had some success and why other teams might not. I don't know, but I do feel at the end of the day that my concern over Stetson Bennett, it's only concern, it's not doubt, is keeping me from really going all in on Georgia. So Bama -6, I'm going to lock it up again against better judgment here.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it anyway.
I think I'm going to take Alabama as well. I think they're at least a touchdown better. I don't know how comfortably any team will be able to beat Georgia because of this defense, but I think they can win this game. God, I love those receivers so much. And what Mechie has done early on, Najee Harris is the other option, both out of the backfield, running the ball and catching the ball. 30-23, Bama. Yeah,
all right. Also,
barely.
In the nightcap, number 5, North Carolina, 3-0. 10-point favorite on the road at Florida State.
Yeah.
Florida State's only 1-3. We all know the drill there. I look at this and I say North Carolina is the better team. They've got an electric offense. But I did watch the Notre Dame-Florida State game a week ago, and I thought Florida State actually acquitted itself pretty well. So I'm inclined to take the points here at home. And also, maybe more confidently go over 61.5. I don't usually do totals like this.
Right.
But this strikes me as a game where there's going to be a lot of points here. And 10 feels like a lot for Florida State at home.
I'm going to take North Carolina. I don't know.
This is not any kind of indictment against North Carolina. I think they deserve to be where they are currently ranked. I think they're only getting better. We saw what they did on the ground a week ago. But Florida State coming home, 10 points is a lot. I hope I'm not going too far out on a limb by saying that some of what I saw from Florida State was better against Notre Dame than I'd seen in previous weeks. And I'd imagine that Jordan Travis is going to be the guy moving forward here. So, yeah, I'm not going to think twice. Again, going against better judgment, give me the plus 10.
Florida State has zero FBS victories this year.
I know.
And they played Georgia Tech. Florida State is not going to be that good this year. North Carolina will be. It's hard for me to find a specific reason. I think North Carolina is going to run the hell over Florida State just like Notre Dame did. So give me the heels.
And last game to discuss here. Originally, we were going to talk about Oklahoma State Baylor or Vandy Mizzou, but those games have been postponed. Boston College and the Jerky Boys, 3-1 on the road at night in Blacksburg, squaring off against number 23, Virginia Tech. Hokies are 2-1. They lost a wild shootout-y game against North Carolina a week ago. Now they're an 11-point favorite, Dan, against a plucky Boston College team.
Okay.
Call it pluck, call it grit. We're doing a whole show on Friday, by the way, about pluckiness and grittiness.
Oh, good.
But how do you feel about this spot for Boston College?
I think they keep it close. I think Virginia Tech has been out dudes. We saw, I think it was 15, something, a crazy number last week, including guys on the defense. Phil Dracovic took a nice step forward. I think Virginia Tech is too talented. Boston College is a nice matchup because they do prevent bigger plays, which Virginia Tech has needed to score points. So I'm going to take those points. I don't think BC wins outright. I think Tech finally gets a nice win here. I shouldn't say finally, because Virginia Tech has been pretty successful this year. It's just been a very strange season. They beat Duke and NC State to start the year and then gave up nearly 60 points to North Carolina. I think it's a relatively close game. Because of that Boston College fight, give me the Eagles and the points.
I don't like this spot at all for Boston College. And I was on Boston College before anybody. But it's one week off a big win on the road in Blacksburg. If they were better at running the football, I'd feel more confident about their chances here. But I'm going Tech minus 11, not even thinking twice about it.
Okay. Disagree.
That is all I have on my crib sheet, Dan. Are there any other games that you'd like to call attention to?
What's going on Thursday and Friday night? Oh, Coastal Carolina, Louisiana. Wednesday night action. We're recording this Tuesday. So that's tomorrow night or tonight if you're listening to this. Grayson McCall, Ty.
Ooh.
Don't say I didn't tell you.
You're a big fan.
Don't say 3-0 Coastal Carolina against number 21 Louisiana, who themselves undefeated. So that's an interesting, really interesting matchup. SMU Tulane, maybe. You mentioned some of the injuries for SMU that are bummers. BYU Houston. Houston 1-0 finally got to play a game. That's Friday night, I believe. BYU won their clunker last week against an okay UTSA team. Elsewhere, G5, I don't think there's much, but I do have a favor to ask you, if you don't
please,
mind.
Please, please.
Don't mind.
Do it.
Will you drop that squashing, pumpkin-y, seeding drum and fife?
Very thematic, Dan.
Thank you.
Let's bring talk about the Colonial League of Eastern Pennsylvania high school football.
Let's.
Wilson at Bangor. It's Bangor, not Bangor.
Bangor.
Daniel, which way are you going?
Yeah. I'm going Bangor. I'm going Gorries.
I'm going Wilson.
You're going Billions? Okay. Bilson. Mm.
Catasauqua, the Rough Riders, on the road at Southern Lehigh, the Spartans, Dan. Who are you going?
I'm going with the Catasauqua squash. I don't know why anybody would take anything that has to do with Lehigh. Give me Catasauqua.
Give me Southern Lehigh. Moving on. Northwestern Lehigh on the road at Salisbury, Dan. What you got?
Yeah, give me the Shawnees, Salisbury all day.
Going Northwestern, going opposite side of the coin.
Dumb.
Notre Dame.
Okay. Oh, this is a big one.
Yeah. I don't know why I kind of did that in a weird accent.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, Green Pond, on the road at Palisades. You're a big Pally High fan, Dan. You like Palisades.
Lock of the week.
I'm not playing the sound. You're going Palisades.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll go Palisades as well. You know I like to go against Notre Dame, not to jinx anything. Mm-hmm. We've got the Palmerton Blue Bombers on the road at Saucon Valley, Dan. Big game here.
Yeah, Saucon Valley sounds terrible. Give me Palmerton. Give me the Blue Bombers.
We always go Blue Bombers. Yeah, and finally, the Saturday slate, Northern Lehigh, mm-hmm. on the road at Penn Argyle. Again, playing this on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of folks will be inclined to watch this over Georgia, Alabama, I'm sure. But who you got?
I'm going Penn Argyle. Reminds me of the Sonic Boom.
Argyle.
Give me Penn Argyle.
Going Northern Lehigh.
Such a suck up. Big Lehigh.
So that's it for week 7, Daniel. A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the top of the show, we mentioned verballers.com, where you can go and check out all there is to know and love and be part of with our new Patreon. We are so very excited to share that next chapter with all y'all.
Mm-hmm.
We'd also remind you to give us a call at 408-VERBAL-1, 408-837-2251. Give us a call as you're watching all of the college football action in week 7. Let us know what's on your mind. We will cut those up on Sunday.
Yes.
And play those as part of our weekend recap episode.
You know what I'm crazy excited about with verballers.com and our Patreon offering? I'm excited. I use the word freedom, and that it's a vague term that I think encompasses a lot of things in our lives, but I'm excited for the freedom to just try things and, you know, have the either, you know, certified verballers or premium verballers say, you know what, I would love a show about this. And you will say, you know what, we would love a show about that as well. I would love a show. I have a notepad full of these, but I would love a show where, Ty, you just talk about production value.
Mm.
Where you just talk about audio. We do get all of these emails all the time. How does your show sound like it does? I would love for you to talk about the evolution of, and we can do audio and video, but the evolution of solid verbal audio and just nerd out over gear talk. I would love to just a one-off show in like March. You pitched a show to me in which just the two of us go back and forth and you called it, How's Your Marriage? And you just
No. We didn't do that. We did not pitch that idea, Dan.
It's only for the Patreon verbal.
Yeah, no.
It's all
we could do
how's
a show.
How's your marriage? And we just call up random sports writers and like, hey, how's your marriage?
That's not the worst concept in the world. But no, I was gonna say, switching gears, we could do a very awkward show and potentially dangerous one at that. Of mm-hmm. me talking through the voltage regulator I just installed so that the neon sign behind me didn't blink for the cameras. That was a real thing that happened in the last 24 hours.
Correct.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The possibilities are truly endless. But verballers.com to see how you can officially support the show, get more stuff from us, contribute more ideas that we can make turn into realities.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much here. There's so much on this proverbial content bone, Ty. I'm quite excited.
On that content bone note,
we enjoy hope, your what? Select your gourd Saturday?
Yeah, select your gourd wisely this Saturday. As always, stay safe. Give us a call at 408-VERBAL-1. Follow along on social media throughout the course of a college football Saturday. And if you haven't already, please do subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a star rating or review. That stuff is not required, but obviously very much appreciated.
Yeah, that's all I have.
That does it for week 7, Dan. We will talk to all y'all when on Friday. We got a plucky UFO show.
Ty, you've gone above and beyond.
Yes.
And you have asked for advice about space direction from an unnamed space expert.
John
that you
is
consider
our
consider to be a contact.
John is our chief astroverballer.
Wow.
I have gotten actual expertise in this arena.
I didn't confer with any Mariners, Ty, on the twos cruise last year.
We had Mariners writing in, though.
That's true. We did. Yeah, that's true. Okay, fair enough.
John, the chief astroverballer for the show here, has given me counsel on our very plucky show that is forthcoming on this Friday, our UFO show. Very excited about that, Dan. In the meantime, enjoy the next few days. Stay safe. Stay hydrated. And hey, everyone out there, I'll talk to you soon. Stay solid.
Peace.